This morning's reading is John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15, and this is to be found on page 1010 in the Pew Bibles. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus had performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you speak to us through Scripture. We pray, Lord God, as we spend time looking at this very familiar story, this very familiar passage, Lord, that you would open it up afresh to us, that you would challenge our hearts and minds, that we would be willing to be changed by you because of your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Andy King, for those of you who don't know me, the youth and children's pastor here. And you're all very welcome this morning. All of you who has a need in life this morning, you are welcome. Because the reality is that every single one of us has needs. And this morning I would like us to really address some of those big needs in our lives. Some of the things that concern us. Some of the things that are on our hearts that are bothering us. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to challenge you that after I've spoken, if God is speaking into your heart, into your life, about a particular situation, a particular thing that's going on, that you respond to that challenge. You don't just go away and listen to that word and think, "Wow, God's speaking," but you actually do something about it. You put it into practice. I believe God wants us to be people of action. People who put into practice what he is speaking to us about. So what do you need today? What do you need today? There's a difference between needs and wants, aren't there? I want a chocolate bar. This is a very familiar statement in my house. So very similar words get mentioned up in the core on a Sunday morning. I want another biscuit. I want more of this, more of that. We have wants, don't we, in life. And some of those wants are just to satisfy our basic needs or our basic situation, our momentary, that moment in time. But actually, what the question I want to ask is, what are our needs? What are the things that concern us? What are the things that trouble our hearts? What are the things that are always on our mind, that disturb us, that worry us? If you're living in Scotland, your need might be this week and these last couple of weeks to understand what your identity is as a nation, thinking about where you fit in light of the vote a couple of weeks ago. For you personally, your need might be for a break. You might need some rest. You might feel like life's going 100 miles an hour and you haven't had a chance to just stop. You need to stop. You might feel you need help in a certain situation. You might have a need for support from others, from family, from friends. You might have some needs at work or in your home life. You might feel the need for answers in different situations that you face, different challenges that are ahead of you. This morning is a great opportunity for us to give to those in need. There are people not just in the world, but even in Hartford right now who need food. And the Food Bank and Hearts Young Homeless and other organisations do a great job at distributing needs. So this is a great opportunity this morning for us to be able to give something of what we have to the needs of others, to be able to help others who are in great need. If you're a Christian living in Syria right now, you have great need. You need stability. You need to know that actually you're safe and secure. You need to know who your God is right now. Because the next knock on the door might be someone coming to say, renounce your faith or die. You know, I've heard those words. They've kind of rung in my ears the last few days. And I've wondered what it would be like if we were in a situation like that here in Hartford. If someone came to our door and we didn't know whether the next knock on the door might be someone coming to say, are you a Christian? Do you really believe? Because if you do, we might have to kill you. I wonder where you would stand at that moment. Christians in Syria have a great need right now. Actually, I believe that they need us to pray for them, to be bold and strong in their faith at this time, to be people who are prepared to stand up for what they believe in. What do you need today? Your need might seem great, it might seem small, but the reality for each and every one of us this morning is that we have a need. We have needs. And so what I'd like to do, because this impacts the rest of what I'm going to say, is I want you to either turn to the person next to you and just ask the question, what is your need? Or just sit there for a moment and just reflect, what are the needs? What are the big needs that I have in my life today? Okay, literally just 30 seconds, either turn to the person next to you or just on your own, think about what are your needs right now. Go. Okay, I did say 30 seconds, that's what I meant. Because actually the reality is that some of our needs, or hopefully our needs should be the thing that's the one thing that's on our mind all the time. That's the one thing that's right there in the forefront that we think about lots. So it should come quite naturally, our basic needs, what are our needs today? And as I share some thoughts on this passage, I want you to be thinking about those needs, thinking about those things that are right on the forefront of your mind, those things that really concern you, that are really worrying you or bothering you right now, needs that you want answered, needs that you want addressed. So what we're going to do with this familiar passage is I'm going to share three thoughts, and these are progressive. So the next thought follows the first one, and so on. And the first of these three thoughts from this passage is that we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. Verse 9 says this. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Maybe he was a Boy Scout. Maybe he had a very organized mum. But here was a boy who was prepared. He was ready. He had gone to spend some time with Jesus. He'd gone prepared, knowing that he was going to be out for a while with Jesus. He had intentionally got himself ready to be with Jesus. Because you don't pack a lunch if you're not planning to stay out for lunch. If you're not planning to stay out for a while, you don't think, wow, I need to make sure I've got a meal ready. But this boy was ready. He was prepared. He'd got himself ready to spend some time with Jesus. And he was also prepared to give. He was prepared to let Jesus take control of his situation. Let him take control of what he had. He was prepared to hand everything over to Jesus. My question to you is, are you prepared to spend some time with Jesus? Are you prepared to put everything to one side and say, I am here for you? Are you prepared to give all you have to him? Because I'd like to suggest that if we're not able to do that, if we're not willing to give all we have to Jesus, then he's not in a position to meet our needs. You see, Jesus in this story was waiting for someone to come to him. He challenged Philip and said, what are we going to do with all these people? There are people out there. They need feeding. What are we going to do? Jesus' challenge was because he wanted someone to come to him who was willing to give, willing to say, use me, I'm ready, I'm available. Jesus wants us to be in that place, and he's waiting for us to say, I'm ready, I'm prepared. Because it's when we say, we'll do whatever you want me to do, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Jesus, it's at that moment that Jesus can meet our needs. He's waiting for a willing spirit. He's waiting for us to be able to say, here I am, Lord, use me. Are we prepared to come to Jesus and just say, I am willing? Willing to sacrifice for him. Willing to give for him. Be prepared. Secondly, bring your all to Jesus. Verse 8 says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. And so Jesus' favorite disciple, Andrew, I'm not biased in any way, but I clearly believe he must be Jesus' favorite. He is quite possibly the first disciple. And here he gives himself that moment to shine and to show his true colors. Andrew goes to Jesus and he speaks up with what seems to be a ridiculous, pathetic response. You idiot, Andrew. You've just gone to Jesus with a boy who's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. To Jesus, who's going to now feed 5,000 people. That's 1 loaf per 1,000 people. My math is pretty good, as you can see. That's a measly amount of stuff. That's a tiny offering that Andrew was giving. Now, there's a little bit in the story here which is missing, that we don't know what happened. So I'm going to try and fill in the gaps. I obviously could be completely wrong, but I'm going to suggest that there's this moment where Jesus comes to Philip and he says to Philip, what are we going to do with all these people? What are we going to do? So I reckon Philip probably went to find help. So he found his friends, the disciples, and they kind of maybe they got into a bit of a huddle and they started asking the question, what are we going to do? Jesus has just asked, we need to feed all these people. How are we going to do it? And so then I reckon someone like Peter, he's the one who's going to come up with some great ideas. Peter maybe said, I know what we can do. Why don't we scatter amongst all the 5,000 people and start asking who's got food? Is there anyone out there who's got something? Has anyone brought anything with them? So the disciples head out into the crowd and they start asking the question, has anyone got any food? Have you got anything? Have you brought anything with you? And they then come back together, get back in their huddle. How did we do? You know, what happened? And there's a quietness. And then Andrew speaks up and says, well, I found this boy. And the disciples kind of shake their heads. Yeah, well done, Andrew. You found a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That is the best we've got for Jesus. That is it, to feed 5,000 people. We can't do this. I'm not going to Jesus and telling him. And so maybe Peter says, well, you know, Andrew, you came up with the idea. You brought the boy forward. Why don't you go tell Jesus? So Andrew kind of steps forward to Jesus and says, well, Jesus, you know, we've got this boy. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Maybe in the back of Andrew's mind, he's thinking, you know, well, we've seen you do great miracles in the past. We've seen you heal people and you've taught us some amazing things, Jesus. So maybe you can do something with this. Jesus, this is all we've got. We need a miracle. Sometimes what we have to offer seems pathetic. It seems useless. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, well, who am I? Who am I to deal and to help this situation? Maybe we look at our life and we think, well, this situation is 5,000 people too massive for me. There is no way I have anything good enough to deal with this. Or we look at our troubles and we blame ourselves and we say, well, this is my fault. I've brought this on. Or we look at the hurdles ahead of us and we just simply feel inadequate. Jesus, this is all we've got. We need a miracle. But to do that, we have to go to Jesus. We have to bring our all to him. Getting in a little huddle isn't going to do it. Trying to solve it on our own isn't going to provide a solution to our problem, to our needs. You see, your needs will be met when you go to Jesus first. Your needs will be met when you go to Jesus first. Bring your all to Jesus. Everything that you have, no matter how pathetic or weak it might seem, bring it all to him. Be prepared. Bring your all to Jesus. And thirdly, relentlessly pursue Jesus. Verses 1 to 5 says this. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, I stopped there. The crowd continued on. They kept going. They wanted more of Jesus. But Jesus, of course, although God on earth was a human being, he was exhausted. He kept moving himself away, getting out of that situation. You know, it says that he moved to the east side, or to the other side of the lake. That would have been the east side of the Sea of Galilee. That's about 7 miles. Jesus moved 7 miles and the crowd followed him. The crowd went after him. They kept on going. If we read on, in verse 15 it says, "And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force," so they recognized who Jesus was, they recognized he was something special, "withdrew to a mountain by himself." Jesus moved himself away. In verses 23 and 24 it says, "Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus." You see, they kept on going after Jesus. They did not stop. They'd even had some time with Jesus, and then they wanted to keep following him. They wanted to keep finding out what Jesus had to say. And you know, when the crowd eventually caught up with Jesus, Jesus says, "You follow me not because of the miracles, but because of the food. You got your fill. You got what you needed." Then Jesus says this, these well-known words. What John does in this passage and what Jesus beautifully does through these stories is pulls together this this feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus is using bread, and he pulls it together here. Verses 32 onward says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' 'Sir,' they said, 'from now on, give us this bread.' Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Does God care about me? Will Jesus provide for us? Is Jesus even bothered about my life? Does Jesus recognize the trouble that I'm in? Does Jesus see my problems? Will Jesus give me what I need? Yes, yes, every day of the week. Yes, he will. What does Jesus say we must do? We must come to him. We must relentlessly pursue him. We must keep on after Jesus. That is our life's worth. That is what God calls us to. That's what Jesus is clearly saying here. He wants us to pursue him, to keep going after him. You know, now would be a really good time for us to share communion together. We're not going to do that. But it would be, because of how Jesus uses in this passage the story of the bread. And in fact, in our display, we have some bread and some fish. I think this is probably a slightly larger lunch than the boy brought. And hopefully his fish weren't made of cod. Apparently these hands are Austin's, is that correct? Yeah, look at that. Austin's little hands. And so I wondered, maybe these hands are Austin's father's hands. Up there. Possibly not. But the boy brought bread and he brought fish to Jesus. And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And at communion, that first communion, what does Jesus do? Jesus takes the bread. He takes the bread. And he breaks the bread with his disciples. Not to satisfy their hunger right there and then. Not so that those disciples could, you know, be ready for their next meal, you know, so that they would feel full. But because this bread represents life-giving bread. bread that lasts, bread that's there for eternity. What Jesus did on the cross for each and every one of us was provided us with an opportunity to never hunger, but to experience a bread that satisfies our deepest longings. Those needs that we struggle with. Yes, God is concerned about our every need. God is bothered by the concerns of our hearts, and God wants to deal with those things. And we must come to him for the bread of life. Come to him, and then he will give to us. What do you need today? I want to encourage you to be prepared to bring your all to Jesus and to relentlessly pursue him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God who cares. I thank you that you're a God who's bothered about our needs, our concerns. And so, Father, I pray that we would be a people who are prepared, who are ready for all that you have in store for us. Lord, that we would be people who bring our all to you, however small or big that might seem to us, and that we would relentlessly pursue you. We would keep going on after you. Lord, may we be people who are prepared to surrender all, prepared to give our lives in sacrifice for you. In your name we pray. Amen.